Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. I hope you guys are having a beautiful week so far. Considering the podcast is a little bit late, there are reasons and stuff. But as you could tell, oh goodness, sorry for the yawn. It's been a busy week and I'm exhausted, but I'm getting closer to fine. So we'll take it. I hope you guys have been doing well. Little update on the situation. My mom was not doing so well for a little while and stayed with myself and my wife for a couple of days. And really, honestly, I don't know that we're any closer to finding any answers because, again, like you said, the American medical system is a joke. And it's too expensive for people to live and it's too costly for people to die. And thankfully my mom is not in the latter category, but it's just, if you've never gone to a hospital without insurance, you don't know what this feels like, but I have. And you kind of get the runaround unless you're actually actively dying. They don't really do a lot to help you. They just don't do a lot. I mean, they don't do a lot to hurt you, but they don't do a lot to help you either. And so now we're coming to the point where we're doing some other outpatient kinds of things. And she was doing better for a while, and then she went back home and started feeling a little sick again. So now the question is it something environmental? If it's something in her apartment that's making her ill, and that's the scary thing because, I mean, you got to find somebody you can trust to check that kind of thing out, you know? And in the meantime, what do? She has to have a place to live. She has to be able to get to and from work. And so, it ends up creating a lot more undue stress and worry for her. And I don't know if you guys are the praying sort. If you are, it'd be greatly appreciated. Good vibes, you know, energy. I don't know, sacrifice a chicken or something. I don't know what it is you do, but whatever you could, if you could throw that my mom's way so that she can feel better, one, and then two, so we could find out what the actual root causes of this is, or this are. I don't know how the right way to say it. It's so early in the morning on Friday, and I'm kind of brain burned, but you know what I mean. Just prayers up for my mom's. Appreciate it. Yeah, there's lots of banana ball stuff in the world. So let's dig into it. You know, you guys have probably been, watching the aftermath since the, last podcast of everything that's kind of shaken out. And, it's just a little bizarre. And I'd say a little bizarre because it was not like it wasn't always completely nuts. Everything about politics and, you know, especially government is crazy. Life is crazy right now. Let's go into some of the crazy. And we're going to bounce around because, I mean, here we go. The new movie, Wicked, which is based off of the Broadway musical, has some figurines that are coming out, you know? They're very, like, you know, very much reminiscent of Barbie, tall figurines representing the characters in the film. And, you know, like a lot of other products these days, there's always like either a QR code or there's like a go and visit this website for more, right? Well, wouldn't you guess it? Somebody didn't do their job right at all. Either that or they were trying to get a job at this other company because instead of checking to find out which website was actually being designated for the film, they just went ahead and slapped www.wicked.com on the back of all these boxes and sent them out. So when unsuspecting children and parents decided they wanted to go and see more about this film that everybody's so excited about, which if you're not familiar, it's a kind of like a Elseworlds sort of tale about what happens to the Wicked Witch of the West and how she came to be, based off of the legend of the Wizard of Oz. And it's a new twist on the old classic, which I mean, it's pretty good musical. I've seen it in theater. I've seen it in a theater on a stage, and it was brilliant. But I haven't seen the movie, obviously, because it hasn't come out yet. But so this is what people are expecting. You know what I mean? Some more of Glinda the Good Witch, you know, and then, you know, I forget the title character's name. It's been so long. But, you know, you're looking about The Wizard of Oz and something in that world. And they go to Wicked.com, and it's boobies. Yeah, for those who weren't aware, and I actually was not, Wicked.com is a porn site. And it was on the back of all of these boxes of children's toys, which just, I mean, I just know that whoever did that, it's one of two things happened, right? Either whoever did that was on some Friday business and was like, yo, man, I'm on my way out. I don't care about this company. I hate this job. I'm throwing this on here. And if that's what it takes to burn the whole thing down, screw it. Or, and which is probably more possible, or let's say it's more probable, is that a group of heads got together and they're like, well, you know, the movie's going to be coming out. We should put the website and the branding. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Wicked.com. Gotcha. And no one thought about it. No one fact checked it. Nothing. And they just sent those boxes out to the world. And yeah, that's going to be a problem. The first time somebody goes to check out some more information about the film, and then they get a whole different kind of film entirely. Yeah, it's been a mess. So, and look, it's not funny that some unfortunate kid or parent found out. It's just funny that this kind of thing happened when I mean, you're working with a high level company, right? These aren't just, you know, fly-by-nighters, or and they're not like, you know, an independent group of toy makers who are just starting to figure things out, right? Yeah, this is Mattel. Yes, you know the company that makes Hot Wheels and Barbie. Yeah, that's like I said, they're not Barbies, but they're Barbie-esque in that in the look. Yeah, this is Mattel that made this mistake. Like, come on, son. Like, you guys have to have an R&D department or something like that to. Just somebody, a social media presence, you know, somebody like, you know, social media manager who could be like, guys, if we're going to start putting just random websites on stuff, let's make sure that they're going to, like, I don't know, maybe a Wicked is a barbecue sauce brand, or shit, I don't know, it could be anything else but porn. So whoever did that, they're claiming it was a printing error. Like, I don't know, unless your printer just automatically starts creating random web addresses, somebody is responsible for this, which is kind of funny, but also very sad, but also kind of funny. Yeah, and we'll go into some more weird news. It's a very popular satirical website called The Onion out there. You guys may be aware of it. Yeah, it's one of the first papers, independent publications that I read when I moved to Chicago. And I just absolutely loved it because it's always ridiculous, right? It's just, sorry, I had a little sniffles there. Oh, goodness, hold on. All right, hopefully we're a little bit better now. That took a little bit of a break. But yeah, The Onion is, like I said, they're a satirical site slash publication. And they've been at it since the 80s. Basically parodying and lampooning events in politics, pop culture, and just other areas of world news. And they, in typical Onion fashion, decided to do one of the trolliest things that they could do yet. And they purchased Alex Jones's InfoWars company out of a bankruptcy auction sale. And it's kind of fitting that one of the biggest conservative trolls and spreaders of misinformation was public was like purchased by one of the biggest, maybe more centrist or center left satirical publications that just is often accidentally quoted as actual information because people don't pay attention to what they're looking at. I don't know how many people I've seen that like, can you believe that this is what's happening in America? And it's obviously that it's got the Onion News Network printed right down on the bottom corner with the giant onion logo, and people just don't pay attention. So yeah, it's like the troll universe rolling in on itself, and it's great. I think it's hilarious because it makes Alex Jones mad, and that's fine by me. It does turn out, though, however, as much as I would love this to just be the end of the story, apparently Jones put in a bid at some point to buy his company back out of bankruptcy, and that bid, I guess, got overturned or overruled or something, and now, of course, he's going into some evidentiary proceedings to attempt to find out what happened, why his bid wasn't counted, and he's sore about it. You know, it's Alex Jones. If he's not crying and whining, or, you know, ranting and raving about something, he's probably asleep or dead. So he's definitely going to make a stink about this. And I hope he loses just because it's Alex Jones and that guy's a turd. But, you know, yeah, it's just kind of funny that, you know, his network gets bought out and now he's sad. And how did he get the money to buy it back is what I want to know. That's really interesting to me. Where did you get the funds from? I want to know who it is that bankrolled your broke ass. Because Jones he definitely deserves everything he's going to get behind this. And hopefully it's a lot of nothing. Because that guy sucks. But yeah, just like I said, bizarre news, man. Just weird and wild stuff. Today is Friday, November 15th, 2024. So, you know, we're going to have some wild stuff happen. Because it's the freaking weekend, baby. You know, we got, today I'm taking the wife to go and get her eye exams. And I was supposed to have gotten my new glasses. And actually, if I had pulled the trigger on the ones that I saw at the optometrist that we're going to today, they would have been here by now. But part of me has a real problem. And again, like I said, this is me with insurance. Like, my wife has great insurance through her job, so we run with that. But this is me with insurance, and they're like, yeah, we'll get you X percent off of this, and then this much off of any frame that you pick today. And it's been a while since I bought glasses, but the last time I bought glasses was the most expensive time I had ever, you know, purchased glasses. Before, I'd go to a place like America's Best or, you know, just some kind of like, you know, hole in the wall kind of place, maybe a mom and pop sort of like local optometrist or whatever. And, you know, I get glasses and it might cost like $150 for the glasses total with the lenses and everything in the eye exam. This time I was there and it cost almost $300. Well, they were going to charge almost $300 in total and a little bit like $300 and change for the eye exam and for one pair of glasses. I'm like, you know, I've been to like America's Best or, you know, Pearl Vision or something like that. And I've gotten two pairs of eyeglasses for almost a third, like two thirds of what this costs. I get dropped $220 and get two pairs of functioning eyeglasses. And this is what I pay for one. So I don't know. We're going to check them out. She's going to get her eyes checked. And I mean, I almost guarantee you we're going to be looking at those glasses and going like, man, fuck this. And that's just, I mean, that's just one healthcare cost, man. Like, we were just looking at the news the other day, and we'll get to it in a minute, but a lot of other things are starting to go up, creep up the economic ladder as far as prices are concerned. But the one other good thing, maybe we'll get a little good news in here, our cabinets and shelves are finally done. I know you guys may not remember this, unless you're avid listeners of the podcast and remember this far back, it was a couple months back in the summer, when we had contracted to have some cabinetry done in our laundry room and particularly in our living room. And the work was never completed. The person in question who was hired for the task went and bought the stuff and then started doing the work. And then one day just stopped showing up and hasn't been back since. Has barely communicated with us and basically took a couple $1,000 from us and has not paid it back and has not made it right. So we happened to pay almost a couple $1,000 more to get it finished. Now, granted, they look fantastic and it's worth it to have them done. but it's still like, it's still a, you know, a kick in the nuts to, it's still kicking the nuts to have it go down the way that it did. It shouldn't have been that way. And it's also, I mean, outside of the financial cost, it's hurtful because this was a person who's considered to be a friend of the family, my wife's side. And I know that that hurts her and it hurts them too. And I, like I said, I'm not putting the names out there, but I mean, the guy was going through some stuff. And that's, all of us have been in a position at some point where we've done something that hurt other people, maybe felt ashamed for it and didn't know how to fess up to it or face up to it. And like I said, I don't wish the guy any ill will. I definitely couldn't, I can forgive this, but I can't forget it kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, just seeing the look on her face when she finally came to tell me what all had gone on and how it all shook out. Like, you could tell that the hurt and the embarrassment was there for her too. And so, like, I hope wherever you are or wherever you're at, dude, that you're getting the help that you need and that you're going to shake through whatever it is that you're going through. It's not easy. And maybe a younger me would have been less forgiving or understanding. But after been through a bunch of shit myself and having put myself and others out in a bad position, I just want you to know that, like, if you hear this, hope for the best for you. But yeah, we won't be seeking this individual's services out in the future, obviously. But yeah, good luck out there, because it ain't easy. But all that to say, that train has sailed. Our new cabinetry is in. It looks great. I do have to get like a small jigsaw or something to fix one of the little dropouts that we had for cables. And we also have an idea for how to mask some of the cables that are coming underneath it. Because your original idea was, I don't know how many of you guys have ever done this before. There's like a vanishing dropout that you can build into a wall so that you can run an entertainment center without all the dangly wires and bits hanging out. And when we had a small entertainment center in the living room, that made sense because then all the cables ran from the entertainment center up to the TV and then out right next to where the ports were for, you know, the Ethernet, you know, the plugs, all that stuff was kind of in one contained area and it could be hidden by an entertainment center. But now we have an open shelf concept in there, which I love and it looks great. But even with the cable management that you can try to pull off, there's a jungle of wires and stuff that's going to be tangled up down there. So we're working on a solution to try to mask it as much as possible so it doesn't look as ratty and dusty underneath there. But also something that won't be super permanent. So if we need to unplug things, move it, dust and clean behind it, we can. So yeah, more updates on that in the future. But yeah, we're stoked about that. What else do we got? Yeah, there's it's a weird and wild news. I don't know if you guys read about this or saw it. I haven't been personally affected by it. And if I do, I'm probably going to laugh more than anything else. But in the aftermath of Trump winning the 2024 presidential election, everybody's lost their fucking natural minds, including that dude, because he was already bonkers. But apparently some people in certain areas of the country were getting texts to report back to the cotton fields. To pick cotton, I guess a couple of, I would assume a bunch of like MAGA idiots, but racists, generally speaking, we're targeting black individuals, lots of young people in college and whatnot, and people unlike, you know, in the Gen Z, I guess, and younger millennials probably, were being targeted and told to report to the fields that a team of one of them was said an executive slave would come and pick you up and you needed to bring just your personal belongings and clothes. You wouldn't need anything else. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is an executive slave? Which just lets you know the kind of mental midgetry that's going on here when somebody's like, you know, we're going to be super funny. This would be great, Cletus. Let's go ahead and wrap this later. We'll send an email out to, or text. We'll just send a text message out. A text message. That's a little one. We'll send a little one. Don't use big words. Let's say executive slave. And yeah, these kind of goobers, you know, I mean, like, if and when they're ever caught and found out, like, I wonder how far under the hate crime statute that ends up going. Because what if somebody was just gullible enough or dumb enough to believe that and went out and did something and then got hurt? You know what I mean? Like, it's possible. I'm not saying it's probable. It's not even necessarily likely, but it is possible that that happened. Or it could have happened. So I hope whoever it is that's writing these texts that they find you and they put you in the deepest, darkest part of the prison where nobody can hear you scream. Because you're going to deserve whatever you got coming to you. You are going to fuck around and find out. Yeah, speak around, fuck around, and find out. Tonight's the night, baby, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, streaming live on Netflix, the cartoon fight of the century, where Jake Paul, formerly of YouTube fame and Japanese infamy for his disgusting behavior overseas, that's actually his brother Logan. But anyway, they're the Logan boys are up their bags of shit in the first place. So anyway, Jake Paul, who has been styling himself as a professional boxer, but has really not fought anybody with any actual legitimate boxing experience for the most part, has basically been like celebrity stunt fights against, you know, NFL players or NBA players or maybe other like internet celebrities like himself, has thrown down the gauntlet and actually called out Iron Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson came out of retirement and said, "Fuck yeah, I'm gonna pound your face in." And they recently had a pose down before the fight, which is happening today at 8 p.m. Eastern. And Jake Paul crawled, like animal crawled up to Mike in some weird kind of like seriously, like watching like a half ape crawl towards somebody. And got right up in Mike Tyson's face, and then Mike slapped him, and they almost came to blows right there. But Jake is a troll and a moron, so he's like trying to talk shit. Like, "I didn't even feel anything. He hits like a bitch." And I'm like, okay. It's not being styled as a traditional heavyweight fight, so there's no title on the line as far as this is concerned. It's basically just for the prize purse and the talking points. But, yeah, I don't think I've seen America this united since like 9/11. And I think everybody just kind of wants to see Jake Paul get drilled by Mike Tyson in the first round and put to sleep. Here's the thing, Jake Paul is a young dude, and Mike Tyson is not. Mike Tyson's almost 60. But I'll tell you this, I wouldn't want to get in the ring with Mike Tyson. I'd sit comfortably in between the two of these dudes, and I would definitely, even with like a year or five of training, I would not want to get in the ring with Mike Tyson. If you have a chance, look online and just look at them at the pose down when they're getting the first pose down is insane because Jake's got this goofy smile, like this colorful shirt on and whatnot. And Mike is basically in like black denim with a black t-shirt and black jeans. He looks like the murderer in an assassin movie. He looks terrifying. Still. Then they do the pose down, and then usually in a traditional pose down, you're usually in your trunks or you're in like a pair of like boxer briefs or whatever. And Mike Tyson is 58 fucking years old. And when I tell you the last time I looked this in shape, I was in my early 30s and I was 170 pounds. And I was working on the beaches, like throwing garbage all day long in the hot sun. This is the last time I was as shredded as Mike is. And he even was just, he's in monstrous physical shape. And, you know, Tyson's known for putting away his opponents pretty quickly with the combination of just a vicious onslaught that he hits people with. That uppercut that he's notorious for just turning people's lights out. And he has a twisting body roll mechanic that he uses when it comes to throwing a hook. It's super effective for anybody who uses it, but Mike Tyson does it incredibly well. And he makes people forget chunks of their life when he hits them with these, with the murder mitts, man. I think that people are just like, yo, I'm going to watch Iron Mike, like, turn Jake's lights out. Like, and I'm concerned for Mike, obviously, because he's a legend, and I don't want to see him get knocked out by Jake, who also has, like, a pretty heavy overhand right. But he's going to have to catch Mike first. Mike is fast. He's strong. He's also been doing this and putting people on their backs for a living for the better part of, like, a decade and a half, almost 2 decades. And just because he went into retirement doesn't mean he just forgot how to fight. You know what I mean? So, Jake, man, I'm just going to say good luck. And I'm not, I don't mean for the fight. I mean for, like, being able to count and eat food afterwards. I feel like Mike's going to try to put it on you. But, I mean, it's not the weirdest thing that's happened, but it is definitely one of them. You know, we were talking about the craziness that's happened in the news. And one of those things is that, you know, like I said, Donald Trump is president. And along with that, the emboldening of the MAGA faithful is a dangerous and stupid thing to behold. But what's even more dangerous and stupid is watching the Commander in Cheeto run around picking out his cabinet. And Steve Bannon, who was formerly one of Trump's cabinet aides and advisors, said that Donald Trump was going to take a blowtorch to American government. And he wasn't wrong. He wasn't wrong at all. So as of today, and this list is coming to you from CBS News. This was printed yesterday at just 10:45 at night. But this is a list of Trump's cabinet picks so far. These are the people that he's asked and or completely, you know, selected that he wants on his cabinet. Now, most of these people, I believe almost all of them, are going to have to go through some kind of Senate and House confirmation hearings to prove that they have the ability to perform the job that they're being selected for. But let's take a look. So the White House chief of staff is going to be a lady named Susie Wiles. It's interesting because a lot of these folks are from Florida. They're not all from Florida, but a lot of them are. She's the first woman in U.S. history that would be the role of the White House chief of staff. So she's not going to have to go through a confirmation hearing. This is basically an appointee. But she's also a Trump loyalist, which is not surprising, because why wouldn't he just pick all the people who are going to kiss his ass in the first place? Secretary of State, also from Florida, Marco Rubio, who is another xenophobic piece of shit from the state of Florida. Attorney General Matt Gaetz. Yeah, Matt Gaetz, you know, the one who is not convicted, from what I understand, but who is accused of sexually assaulting staffers and teenage girls. That guy is going to be the attorney general. Yeah. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. Oh, here's the one. I think it's Health and Human Services or something like that. The HHS Secretary. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So the guy who's supposed to be in charge of the health and well-being of millions of Americans is a guy who categorically denies that vaccines are effective, lies and says that they cause autism and a bunch of other things. He also has urged for removing fluoride from drinking water, which 6 to 1 half dozen the other. There's some evidence that fluoride is not great for you to ingest, but that it's fine for you to use to brush your teeth with. You know, help strengthen the enamel and all that jazz. But this is also the dude who had a worm that ate part of his brain, cut the head off a whale, and put it on top of his family car for a vacation when he was off on vacation. And most recently and most notoriously, found a dead bear cub and then was going to take it home to eat this. So he's going to eat bear roadkill. And then decided better against it, oddly enough, and then decided to stage it as having been hit by a bicycle in New York City and killed. That's the guy. That's the pick for the Department of Health and Human Services head. Yeah. We're fucked, by the way. If you're not getting this, we're completely screwed as a country. Let's run through a couple more. Why not? The news is terrible. Might as well have fun with it, right? Let's see. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. Ugh. Let's see. Let's pick out some other notable names. You guys probably Secretary of Homeland Security. No, she likes shooting small dogs anyway. Kristi Noem. She'll be up in there. CIA Director John Ratcliffe. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard. And that's an interesting one because Tulsi Gabbard is a moron. U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. Oh, boy. And here's another one. The Department of Government Efficiency has two heads, co-chairs, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy most popularly was known as the Beavis and Butthead lookalike that was running against Trump and at various times had not only viciously attacked Trump, but then turned around to kiss the ring and the ass. And was kowtowing to Trump. So as you can see, like you're starting to see like the names that you're seeing pop up. A lot of MAGA folks, a lot of people who are either donors to Trump's campaign or been stalwart supporters of his since his last turn at the presidency. And they're basically just hangers on. And none of these picks, by the way, we'll say the majority of these picks make no actual practical sense. These are not people with any kind of history or any kind of familiarity with the roles with which they're going to be charged, charged with executing. But it makes all the political sense in the world because the idea that he's had and that people were trying to tell you is that Project 2025 was set and designed to dismantle American government as we currently understand it and replace it with essentially people throw the word fascist around. It's not incorrect, but it's almost a monarchical kind of regime where if you're not a complete loyalist to the crown, it's off with your head. And they're kind of setting it up right now. And by kind of setting it up, I mean, they're absolutely setting it up right now. So that only the people who are loyal to Trump and who are gonna, kiss his ass and do what he wants will have power. Everyone else will have pain. And because of that, there's been some fallout already. One of the more recent things that I saw was that, obviously there's speculative price raising that happens whenever a new president comes into office. Because what happens is that the office of the presidency and the person who's in it has an impact on the broader scope of the socio-political scene, military operations around the world, increases or decreases people's perception of security, financial security when it comes to, hey, is this guy going to actually do good stuff for us? If not, we need to start doing what we did during COVID and start hoarding toilet paper and eggs and shit like that. And that kind of speculative purchasing and prospecting kind of goes on in other arenas as well. Not the least of which is healthcare. You were talking about earlier how American healthcare already sucks ass. Well, Medicare's costs are projected to raise approximately 6% in the next year. That was one of the projections. I'm trying to find the actual verification for it because I did look this up. Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's out there and it's speculation on a lot of parts, but it's also insurance companies and any medical providers are always going to do whatever it can to line their pockets. That's why I think Chris Rock said it once. It's like the American medical system is like the biggest set of drug dealers in the world because they don't sell cures; they just sell drugs. And this is from the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, so. Kind of coming right out of the horse's mouth, so to speak. And it's insane that the premiums are going to be going up in 2025. Let's see. Monthly premium will increase for Medicare Part B enrollees to $174.70 an increase of $9.08 from what it was in 2023. That was to 2024. The projections for 2025, if I pull this back up, it says that it'll go up to $240. So it's going to be an increase of $14 from what it was 2023. So it's just going to, they're just going to keep going up and up and up. And then the premiums are going to be between $185 to $250. It's just, like I said, there's a lot of speculation that's happening right now, but it's based in the fact that you're looking at these dummies who are running roughshod across the American landscape, and not just, you know, in their own constituencies from where they came from, you know, like Matt Gaetz and Marco Rubio being terrorists here in Florida. Now they're going to be unleashed on the entire world. And I don't blame people for not liking Florida. When I first moved here, I was excited. You know, I was caught up by the legend of Florida, because when I was younger, it was always this cool place to go and hang out. You know, people retired here. There's the sun, the sand, the beaches, the girls. I was stoked. And then I got to live here for a while, and I found out that's only really in like three places. The rest of Florida is a bunch of backwater, you know, hillbilly ass morons. And as much as I hate to say that, it's actually true. If you start looking around, you'll notice it very, very quickly. The amounts of people and the numbers of people who are they're entranced by, you know, Republican and especially more evangelical conservative MAGA styled conservatism, white Christian nationalism. They really dig deep for it, and they believe, they're true believers that Donald Trump is the new wave of the future, and that MAGA is going to lead them to the light, not realizing the entire time that the hypocrisy behind saying that the Justice Department had been weaponized against him and his other political operatives, when he turns around and does these, going to do the exact same thing that he claimed was being done to him. What was really happening to him is he was a criminal, he was a crook, he was a rapist, he was a misogynist and a racist. And people were like, we don't want that. But then somehow, and I don't know how Democrats keep doing it, they dropped the ball on being able to prosecute this fool. So, you know, now he's got a shot at, really, before anybody on the left will do anything about it, wiping the slate clean for himself and anybody else who's in his camp, and then just stomping across the entire Constitution and the North American continent, essentially, until he starts infecting the rest of the world. But that kind of, you know, stupidity emboldens other stupid people. Like we said earlier, the folks who are sending these texts out saying, report to the fields for your cotton picking days to return, and this kind of shit, right? That they're not the only ones. Because, you know, when you see people who are wholly underqualified to do a job, get the job, and then a convicted felon be elected to the highest office of the presidency, it doesn't instill a lot of faith in the structures of a working American society. Forget government, just American society as a whole, knowing that a majority of people voted for this fool and all of his, his little sock monkeys that are hanging on his nuts to be in the positions of power they're going to be in, to wreak the amount of havoc they're about to cause. These morons voted for him. So really what it says less about the American system of government and our electoral college and how broken and wrong this system has been for a long time, as well as the failure of a two-party political system, which was what the founding fathers came over here to get rid of and dismantle in the first place. It says a lot more about the American spirit and the psyche of the American people as a whole. Because if that was just the people who showed up and voted and won, how many more are hiding in the shadows? How many more have decided not to make their voices heard or known, but are secretly harboring this kind of ill will and animosity towards their fellow Americans? It's almost impossible to say for sure. And that's the thing that makes this more terrifying. Because as they gain popularity and then as they gain power and they gain purchase, those people will also become emboldened and they'll step out and then you'll know who they are because they won't have any reason to hide their disgusting behavior because they're being validated as we speak at every turn. And one of those reasons, one of the reasons I can say that is because noteworthy, and I won't say popular because I don't find that to be very popular, his points of view to be very popular, I'd say noteworthy alt-right and white nationalist, I guess influencer is a way to describe him. Nicholas Fuentes had tweeted out some pretty horrible messages. One of the most notable that you've probably heard is "Your body, my choice," in reference to abortion rights being repealed. And obviously now that we're looking forward, the loss for Amendment 4, as I mentioned before, which would codify abortion rights into the Constitution of the state of Florida. And a lot of the other abortion ban challenges being struck down across the country. Some of them are won, a lot of them are lost. It's kind of like they're clapping their hands and stomping their feet for, basically taking away women's agency. And of course, they're being led by a known and convicted rapist. And just because, here's the thing, we'll say not convicted. He was indicted for and brought to court about sexual assault and rape. And he just, I guess, managed to dodge the bullet by paying off the fines and whatnot. But when they're emboldened by a man of that low character, of course, the people who feel like they have an entitlement to do and say as they please to a woman without any regard for her personal agency, safety, or emotional or mental well-being, they're going to say stuff too. And so he has. And that's just a portion of what he said. It's the most notable thing that he's said, because nothing he says is necessarily of note. It's all garbage. But this is the thing that's been picked up. It's being repeated by just lonely, dick-tugging white incels. Small young children in grade school are saying this to girls in their classes. Chanting "Your body, my choice," which is also now slightly turned on its ear from the original, you can't have an abortion unless I say so because we own you, your property, turning into a much more vicious lean of if I want to have your body at any time, I can because it's my right. So basically kind of, championing the notion that young boys should be able to rape their female classmates or, neighbors or whatever. But that fool got his information scouted out and put on the internet. So they doxed his ass. His full address and everything is out there on the internet for everyone to see. One lady actually went over to his house. Now, I don't know why you would do this as a single woman, and especially as an elderly woman, because you know that they don't give a damn about who you are. They don't care that you're a woman, period. They definitely don't give a shit if you're an old woman, because it just gives them even more ability to be hateful and terrible to you, because you count even less now. She went over to his house, and then I guess somebody was driving by, was like, "Ring the doorbell," and this rocket surgeon did. Before she went to actually ring the doorbell, though, before she could even get there, Fuentes, apparently, in a report from the Berwyn, Illinois Police Department, opened the door and pepper sprayed this 50-something-year-old woman in the face. And because she had her phone and she was going to, I guess, confront him or whatever, she got her phone snatched. He took it inside and then stomped on it and broke it. The police were called. The lady who said to go and knock on the door, call the police. They came, filed a report, talked to both parties. They recovered the woman's phone, which was broken. It had been stomped on. So he destroyed her property at the very least. And, I guess technically she may not have been trespassing. I mean, you know this guy's a turd. This is definitely a dude who does not give a damn about women in the first place. So showing up to his house was a stupid-ass move. But you can't tell people something sometimes. They just got to find out for themselves. I'm not saying she deserved what she got, but she had to expect something from somebody that unhinged and that broken mentally and emotionally and spiritually, you couldn't have expected good things when you went and knocked on the door. He wasn't going to offer you some cookies and tea and sit down and have an intelligent and reasonable discussion. No, the guy's a moron. He's a troll. He's a hate monger and he's a white supremacist. You're not going to get a lot of love from this dude. So, yeah. And who knows? Maybe this all shakes out and nothing happens to this guy. Maybe he gets away with being able to pepper spray this woman because she went up to his house. Maybe he goes to jail. Who knows? All I know is there's going to be a lot more repercussions for the actions that we do and don't take in the upcoming months and weeks and years. Weeks and months and years is basically what I should have said. And I'm not thrilled about it. It's looking weird. So, yeah, that's enough of that. Let's move on to some other fun stuff. If you guys have questions or comments, concerns, you want a recipe to share, or you want me to, you want to share a recipe with me, you want me to share one with you, some chit-chat. Don't forget that you can stop over on Patreon and email me over there. It is absolutely free to follow. There's free goodies over there every now and again for people who are just following. But if you decide you want to be a subscriber and support the channel for just $3 a month, I would love for you to also send along your questions and comments as well as your dollars, which is nice. But being able to engage with you guys is going to be a really great thing, too. Plus, you'll get to know it's me talking straight to you. And who doesn't like a little conversation? I mean, it's kind of cool to have your name read on air for whatever reason, right? So go ahead and email me over there on Patreon at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I'm looking forward to some more questions for the exclusive episodes that will be for paid patrons only. But I will try to make sure there's at least one bonus episode of the podcast based on your questions as well. So hit me up and let me know what you got for me. Let's talk about some gridiron gripes. Because we already had the podcast late this past week and it's late again this week, not a whole lot has happened in the world of football in the interim. However, there was an interesting game last night. Excuse me. And I actually got to catch that game. And it was pretty wild. I don't know how many of you guys keep up with the Commanders, but they were playing the Philadelphia Eagles last night on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. And here's the thing. The Commanders and the Eagles were two teams that if you asked me like 5 years ago if I would ever see them as Super Bowl contenders, I probably would have laughed in your face. However, that's exactly where they sit right now. And as of the results of yesterday's game, it actually puts Philadelphia one step closer to being able to secure a place in the playoffs. Now, let's just be clear. This game was kind of like a back and forth seesaw comedy of errors for the first three quarters. Neither team seemed to be able to gain any significant ground over the other. And it just ended up being, as we were talking about it yesterday, just a comedy of errors, interceptions, missed field goal attempts, missed extra point attempts, just three and outs, just leaving the ball on the field. And it's basically running back and forth in the middle of the field for the majority of the game. Until some point started changing hands. Like the Commanders took an early lead and then the Eagles came back to answer a little bit into the end of the first half. So it was 3-7. And then, it started the battle in the beginning of the second half with the Commanders and Eagles firing shot for shot on field goals. And then I guess the Eagles were just like, oh, we've stood all we can stands and we can't stands no more. And decided to turn the gas on and lit up the Commanders, scoring an unbelievable 20 points in just one quarter of football to end the game 26-18. They should have put them away a little bit harder than they did. They had the opportunity. They had the Commanders on the ropes. I think they let them down easy, getting that last touchdown and the two-point conversion with it. But I guess they figured we only got like a minute and a half in this game. There's no way mathematically they're going to pull this off. So we'll just run the clock out and just let them take the L. But it was a crazy game. It was actually, like I said, the first half was just dumb. But then like going into the third quarter, near the end of the third quarter into the fourth, like, uh-oh, there's some moves being made here. And then watching the Eagles just stomp on all of them was an absolute treat and a delight. I'm so happy I got this, to witness it. So yeah, guys, so since we're kind of in between Gridiron Gripes for now, and this one's coming a little bit late, caught a little bit of Thursday Night Football, and yeah, this coming week, like I've said on the last podcast, I don't have any real love for this week of football for my teams, and it's going to be a rough one. It's going to be a rough one, see? There's a little nod to Bill Burr and Paul Verzi from their podcast. The Steelers are taking on the Ravens on Sunday. All these games, again, at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Steelers versus Ravens. Ravens at 7-3, Steelers at 7-2. That's a tough one. Because on the one hand, you know, I know the Steelers are my wife's team. She's stoked. You know, I mean, maybe not super invested in the game, but it's got to feel good to see your team with a winning record, right? But on the other hand, it is the Ravens. They are kind of murderers this year. And they seem to have found an early identity and established themselves as a team to contend with. And so I don't have good vibes about this game. I think it's going to be tight. I think the Ravens will just barely eke out the win. I don't think the Steelers are going to go quietly into that good night, but I don't see them producing a tremendously high scoring game. I think it's going to be a battle both sides of the ball. And I think that it's going to be a slugout, a slugfest. I don't think they're going to really see, I mean, if the spread gets over 40, I'd be surprised. I think they both have a pretty strong defense and offense on either team that they will have to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at the other team to keep the game moving. But I just have a feeling that one's going to be a tight one. The Ravens are just barely going to pull that one out. Going back up the ladder, Jaguars and Lions. I don't even know why I'm saying this. The Lions are going to beat the Jaguars. They're going to beat the shit out of them. Let's just be honest. And then Packers and Bears. No real faith in either of these teams, honestly. Like the Packers with the slightly larger lead in the conference, but it's Chicago, and Chicago can be surprising any given Sunday. Most likely not. I'm going to lean on the Jaguars and the Bears taking an L, as well as the Steelers. All three of them taking a bath this week. I think the worst game is going to be the Jaguars and Lions. It will be amazingly interesting to watch because I've never seen a murder on live TV. Sorry. I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Lions are going to absolutely slaughter the Jaguars. And the Bears are taking their lumps in the off the field as well, having to fire a couple of people in their staff just this past week. I think they're getting sick of fans are getting sick of them losing, always have been. I think the head office is getting sick of them losing too, but I don't think they realize that they're the problem. It's not the coaching staff that's really the issue. It's the fact that the purse strings of the owners and the head office won't open up to give them the proper, you know, new blood that they need. And also, you have to give them time. You can't just burn through people and resources and stuff. This isn't one of your meatpacking plants. You have to give these people a chance to gel, to coalesce as a team. And if you're just going to replace the quarterback or replace the offensive coordinator, replace the head coach, replace the defensive coach every, you know, 18 months, you're never going to have a chance to build any synergy in the team. It's the same lesson that the Jaguars have continued to fail to learn. It's why they continue to be so overwhelmingly unimpressive year after year. And I don't know what it is about these teams that they don't see the success that other teams have when they follow a similar pattern and say, hey, you know, if we take these folks in and we work with them for like a couple, 3 years, you know, put some faith in our staff, put some faith in our players, give them the time to, like, hey, look, we know you're not going to build a dynasty overnight. We need to let you at least get in there, feel how one another works together, you know, and then we can look to good things in the future. We're building a brand here. We're trying to build a dynasty, so to speak. But we know that takes time, and we're willing to let you work it out. And they watch teams that do that. It works out great for them. The teams that don't, they become the Jaguars and the Bears. So We'll see. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. But anyway, Sunday is just around the corner. As I said, today's Friday, so we'll know very short order what happens with not only the Bears, the Jaguars, and the Steelers, but we're going to find out whether or not Mike Tyson or Jake Paul stands alone. Some more stuff. We'll go to some fun stuff. Winter is coming, my friends. Winter is coming. So that also means that a lot of people are going to do this really interesting thing that they tend to do in the winter and shower less. Don't do that. Don't do that. Look, I'm not saying that you have to, you know, scrub your skin off every second that you get in the shower, right? Now, I like to be clean, so I take at least one shower a day. Sometimes two during the summers, because I go out, you know, during the day, I come back home. I don't want to be sitting in my own juices, making my own gravy, you know? But at least a shower a day. And some people don't shower every day, and I don't get that. I was never raised to do that. I think it's actually kind of filthy because you do sweat, you do shed skin cells and hair and all that jazz, and it's just sitting on your skin. And your skin needs oil and moisture to keep it, you know, hydrated, to keep it young, to help it heal, you know, to prevent germs and infections from getting in there. But you know what doesn't help is not rinsing off all the old dead shit too. You have to wash that stuff off your body. And you also should be using soap, not just hot water. Use hot water and soap in conjunction with a cloth or a loofah to exfoliate the dead skin off of yourself. Nice. You don't have to scrub yourself raw, but you do need to scrub the parts. You need to get all of them. You know, all the nooks and crannies and crevices and everything like that. Get them all nice and cleaned up and then moisturize. Drink water. Drink lots of water, especially during the winter. That's one of the things people forget is when it's cold, you actually need the water more. You definitely need it during the summer, but you need to drink water more during the winter because people forget. You know what I mean? They get a bunch of hot drinks and everybody's living, no, we got to have my coffee, got to have my latte, got to have this, pumpkin spice latte, got to have like my apple cinnamon tea. That's great. There's water in those things, but it doesn't replace drinking actual water. And then use deodorant, because if you're going to be wearing bundled up clothing, you're still going to sweat, which means you're going to create body odor, which means when you take that coat and that sweater off, ooh, pee-oo, somebody's going to smell, you know, whatever's baking underneath those layers, man. And let's just be honest, some of y'all ain't the most fragrant. So look into getting some Lumi deodorant. It's an antimicrobial deodorant, which helps like cut down on not adding chemicals to your skin, but actually adding an antimicrobial layer of ingredients that helps keep you naturally fragrant and fresh without producing pungent odors and hopefully no flaky wax stuff. But it's a all body deodorant, so you can use it on your feet, your pits, your butt, your crotch, everything. And so give that a spin, you know what I mean? Like if you're not used to conventional deodorant, like I like Arm & Hammer, it's a baking soda deodorant. It's not a super aggressive scent. It doesn't leave a lot of cakey shit everywhere. And it smells nice, you know what I mean? And I don't have to apply it six times a day like some of the other clear stick deodorants. Give something a try. Try some new shit this season. Like I said, brush teeth. Brush your teeth and change your drawers. I've noticed that a lot too. People don't wash their legs. A couple things I found. People don't wash their legs, which is fucking gross. That's nasty. You wouldn't just put soap on the top of your car, rinse it, and call the car clean. All that dirt's going to slide all the way down the side of your car. Wash your entire body from the top of your head to the tips of your toes all the way down. All of that stuff gets stanky. All that stuff gets dirt and grease and oil and hair. All that stuff needs to come clean. Wash all of it. Just figured I'd give you a little reminder because we're coming up to that time of year when people start to get more funky because they're inside more often. And then they go and bring their dusty asses around other people. And now I got to smell you. And I take offense to that. I take personal offense to people being dusty and stank in my house. Because it's like you don't give a fuck about you don't give a fuck about me. You know I could smell you, right? You know what I mean? Wash your clothes, clean your house, you know what I mean? Clean up after your pets and your kids. And don't bring a funky ass around my house. Like, that shit is disrespectful. It actually feels like you don't like me when you do that. Because you know it bothers me. And you know I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't want you stinking up the joint either. You know what I mean? Like, it's not cool. It's not fair. It's not friendly. And it feels like a personal attack. Like, I take it personally. Like Michael Jordan. I took that personally. Let's see what other fun things are going on. We'll close out on some happy notes today. One of the cool things I found out, and I'm not sure just how long this is going to continue, but I'll see if I can give you some insight. There's a cool little program that helps benefit the local food banks and food pantries for folks who are in need, especially during the holiday seasons. You know, times are tough for everyone. Maybe you're struggling to make ends meet already, but then you maybe have kids or friends or family that you're trying to get some cool gifts for or whatever. And sometimes people have to make the choice between paying bills and getting food or doing something fun for their friends or family for the holidays, even the simplest of things. So here's a way that some of you folks out there, especially readers out there, can participate. And it's called Food for Finds. This program's popped up in several places around the state of Florida, which might be one good thing that came out of the state of Florida, as well as other areas around the country, I would imagine. But this program is currently running from November 10th, so it started last week, and it'll run till December 21st, where you can bring in a non-perishable food item to reduce your library fines. So if you got overdue books, doesn't apply to books that have been damaged, lost, or stolen, but if you have overdue book fines, you can bring in one item and get rid of $2 in fees, and then that food item will go on to help someone else in the community, which is a nice little wonderful thing that you can do to help your fellow human being. Like I said, as times are getting more tumultuous, and obviously we've seen and heard, the prospecting on, you know, oil and gas futures, various other commodities that they're like, hey, these prices are about to go up, so get ready because the crunch time is coming. This is one good way to do something kind for your fellow man. Help yourself out a little bit and, just be an all-around good shit this holiday season. This is the kind of thing that really should exist quite often. Like, it should be at least like every quarter they do this, you know? Because people like to read books, you know what I mean? Books are great until they start burning and banning them, so let's hope that doesn't happen, but also food is good too, and people like to eat food. People need to eat food, and being able to help other people while you help yourself is also kind of cool. Whatever, you get your fines reduced and help feed a family or something, help feed somebody who's less fortunate than yourself. Do some good for a change. And lastly, but not least, you guys know that I had been streaming, but I had taken some time off to, take care of the mom and the friends. The mom and the family. And that'll be, it's been kind of like a sliding scale on when I'm going to be able to be in streams on my normal schedule and on time, which is a little distressing. I like to stream. It's not like I'm getting rich off of it. It's not like I'm getting a huge viewership out of it, but it's something I love to do. And I'm hoping that as things hopefully will settle down and everybody will, the universe will stop fucking with my fam, then I can take more time to focus more on, building the brand up, doing the merch and getting that set up, redesigning the Twitch stream and look and feel, and maybe getting some editing a production value into this podcast. But in the meantime, in between time, I'm going to be picking up some Nintendo Switch stuff. I usually play Xbox games on my Twitch streams over at twitch.tv/linkib. Link is also on the channel description and on the page for this podcast. Like I said, I got a disbursement from a job that I was doing back in Illinois. And they like, hey, you paid into this pension, but you never claimed it, you never used it, and then you left the board. So I'm like, yeah. So I got a little bit of money from that. I used some of that to help out around the house, helping my mom. And then I got myself a couple little goodies. So hopefully you guys will take this chance to stop on by. If this goes out on time and if things go out the way I hope they will, you will be seeing me again this afternoon, which is Friday, November 15th. On Twitch around 3 p.m. and we're going to be doing some Nintendo Switch games. I picked up the Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword Remastered Edition, Metroid Prime Remastered. Also picked up the latest Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, which is an absolutely adorable game, and Super Mario Wonder, which is a multiplayer Mario Brothers game in the traditional 2D side-scroller style, but also with some added twists and turns. So hopefully you guys will stop in and say hello, show me a little love, and check out the Switch game Bonanza. And we're going to be running, I guess, we'll just run it as the, you know, maybe on Fridays. Every Friday, we'll just do Switch games for the majority of the time. That'd be fun. And I get to play some new stuff that you guys get to see. All right, I got to go. It's time for me to get in the shower, take the missus up to go and get her eyes checked. And hopefully by the next time you hear us, we'll both have some new glasses, or at least we'll be one step closer to getting them. Again, thank you guys so much for all your support, all the Patreon support, all the shares, follows, comments, questions. Please go over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and send me a message there. Check me out on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. I love you guys. You guys have been great. Let's stick together and work together to make a better future than the one that they're trying to sell us. Because I have concerns and worries, and I think that if we all work together against these dummies, maybe some good can come out of this in the meantime. Hope springs eternal, everyone. I'm Link Flores. You guys have been amazing, and I'll see you further on down the road. Peace.